Thank y'all for coming this morning. I was saying earlier at the door back there to a couple of folks that I'm glad February is going to be behind us at midnight tonight. It's the last day of February. So what a bleak winter we have had, and a cold one, and so forth. But anyway, the Lord has seen us through it and got us through it, and we're looking for some continual blessings from the Lord. Need to pray for the church. Pray for the folks. I hope everybody that's not here, I hope they're doing well. I haven't heard from, just like I said, a couple of folks here and so forth. Who's that now?
Big Pastor.
Yes, Big, huh? Really? Wow. So much sickness going on. So many. And it's not just here. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I've never seen so much sickness and so many health problems in all my day. My. We need to pray harder and more earnestly that the Lord Jesus would come and take us home. That would settle and solve all of our problems, wouldn't it? And I'm telling you, it sure would. Well, today, I want to thank y'all for having me back and so forth. I'll be with y'all the next five Sundays, Lord willing, and so forth. That's what I've been asked to schedule for on my calendar. And so I look forward to that. We love you folks, and we're glad to be here. And I would like to say that, Lord willing, if he continues to lead in the way that he is right now, I would like to be able to start a study in the book of Genesis next Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning at the Sunday school hour. So if you can, contact folks from church and let them know that. Because when I do a verse-by-verse study of any book of the Bible, it's important that we catch it from the beginning of it, if we possibly can, so we can follow through on the whole thing and have a greater understanding of it. And I will try to lay the groundwork for it, and because every good study has a good foundation to it. And so we must do it that way. So anyway, I want to do that next Sunday morning, if you will, start a book, the study in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. Okay? And for this morning, if you will, turn to Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. And there's a very important lesson right here for us to learn and to heed to and so forth. And as we study the Word of God. And I pray that you are studying the Word of God at home as well. And especially if folks are sick and so forth, I pray that they will be looking into their Bibles and so forth. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Okay. We're going to start right there in verse 1. Start in chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Mark. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them, that he here so much as Jesus Christ, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Now notice, this is a very important passage of Scripture right here. It's recorded not only in chapter 4, but also in Matthew chapter 13 gives the account of the same parable. Luke chapter 8 gives the same account of it as well. And of course, it's a mighty important doctrine here that the Lord Jesus Christ is laying down for us as believers. Now, verse 3, first thing he says right there, hearken. Hearken. That means listen up. I've got something very important vitally important for you to hear. That's what Jesus is saying there. And he starts out, hearken, and he follows up, behold. Now I'm going to explain to you what is so vitally important that I need for you to catch this. I need for you to grab hold of this and be able to keep it in your heart. And he goes on now to talk about, he gives an illustration here. And then he's going to tell what that illustration means. And so here we go. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And we all understand, being from the country as I am, I grew up on a farm. That's talking about somebody that's farming, right? Somebody goes out and he's planting seed. And he's putting that seed out there for a reason. When you go out and plant and sow seed, what's the reason for doing that? Is it just for fun? I mean, as expensive as seed is, I remember the last time I bought seed corn was many years ago. And I thought, wow, it's so expensive, you know. But I'd hate what it is today. But I didn't go out there and buy it just to throw it out there, just to plant it and not get anything from it. I was looking for a yield from it. Is that correct? And that's the reason why I was sowing it. It wasn't for fun. It was because I was looking for a yield from what I was sowing. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying also this very same thing. Verse 4. And it came to pass as he sowed, this farmer, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Vitally important right there what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. You see, he started out, hearken, behold, I've got something to say. And he ends that parable with saying, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, you see. And when he was alone, verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 ask of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Well, how can you know it? Do you understand what I've said in this parable? And the other parables, how are you going to know? Well, he's going to explain it to them. It's by God's Holy Spirit that we understand anything about the Bible. Without the Spirit of God, without the help of God, without the understanding from God and the wisdom and understanding from God, we could understand nothing about this Bible. Is that correct? I tend to agree with that. The sower, he's going to explain now what this parable meant. He's going to break it down here. Verse 14. I'm going to read down and to verse 20, and then I'll back up and explain here. The sower soweth the word. That's what's being sown. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for your precious word. Lord, we would not be able to understand anything about your word if it was not for the Spirit of God to teach us. Father, we're so thankful that we have a teacher. We're so the Holy Spirit. And we're so glad we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits on the right hand side of your throne, dear Lord, there making intercession for us unto you. Father, we're so thankful for that. And dear God, we just pray now that we may have ears that will hear. I pray, dear God, that we will have a heart that is willing to receive and is open to receive the word of God. And pray, dear Lord, that we have a mind that is willing and sound and is stayed upon thee. Father, we thank you and we love you, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the word is choked out by three things: cares of the world, lust of the flesh, deceitful riches, and the pride of life, and the lust of things, or pleasures and lust of the eyes. Those things, I point them out first of all because those are the three things that Satan tempts everybody with. He tempted Eve with those same three things. It's always with the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. And in 1 John chapter 2, we have that admonition there: for us not to love the world, nor the things of the world, which is those things right there that I just talked about. Now, let's go to this parable and see what Jesus is saying to us. If you can imagine in your mind, Jesus is standing there, and maybe he's going to give them an illustration. Maybe he has some seeds in his hands. That's how I kind of like to imagine it. And they've asked him to explain it to them. So he says the sower soweth the word. Now he says these seeds right here, we're going to say this, the word of God. And he says it's important that we sow the word of God. We should sow it out there among whom? There's a field, you see, that is white unto harvest, Jesus said. And that field is mankind's heart, you see. And that's the field, is the heart of man and the mind of man. And that's where we are commanded by Jesus to sow the word at, into man's heart, into their minds, so that they too can come to Christ, you see. That's bearing fruit. But notice what happens here in verse 15. And these are they by the wayside. So he took some seed probably out of his hand and he threw it. And maybe they was there close by a field. And you know by full well that when you prepare a field by plowing and hiring and so forth, the disking that needs to be done, well, you're not going to do the road and everything else and the side banks and everything else and the road ditch, right? And so you got some areas that you're not going to get to be able to break up the fallow ground. And so those seeds would land on the wayside, those places that's not broken up, that's just thrown to the wayside. And when seed lands like that, notice what happens. And a wayside is also a heart of a man that you've given the word of God to, you've witnessed to them, to that individual. And that wayside heart is a heart that is so far from God, is a heart that's not interested in God and is not interested in the things of God. They're loving their sin, you see, and they're wanting to just continue to wallow in their sin, if you will, if you say that. And that's the wayside at heart. It's gone away, you see. And you sow the word of God to that individual, and they will hear it. And the word of God has got there, is, wow. Maybe it stirred their heart. Maybe they realized, I'm sinning. And I've heard about Jesus. I realize that, you know, he died for my sins, was buried, and he rose on the third day. But look what comes when they have heard. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You notice that? We have an enemy, folks. And whenever you go out to witness to people, whenever you're talking to people, that's important for you and I as born-again Christians to be prayed up. We need to pray of the words that we're speaking, of the word of God that we're giving to someone, so that it will take root in the heart. And pray that not only it take root, but that, Lord, please keep Satan away. Bar him away from this individual. Have you ever prayed that for a family member? Someone that you know, and you want them to get saved, but you've talked to them about the Lord and talked to them about coming to the Lord, and yet they will not heed to it, and it seems like it just becomes of no use to talk to them or something. Have you ever prayed beforehand, Lord, I'm about to sow your word in their heart. Now, Lord, please, by your almighty power, by the Holy Spirit's power, keep Satan away. Keep him back from them so that your word will not come back void. That your word will be able to have entrance into their heart, you see, and some longevity in their heart to be able to deal with their heart, you see. Most of the time we don't do that. Most of the time we don't take time to pray like that. But we need to, because we do have an enemy. He's mentioned as Satan right here in verse 15. If you look up Matthew, the account of this, over in verse 19 of chapter 13 of Matthew, he's called the wicked one. And if you look in Luke chapter 8, in verse 12 of this same account, he's called the devil. Now, God wanted us to know exactly who our enemy is. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. So he called him out by name. There's three of them right there. And he's serious about robbing people of the Word of God. He's serious about, Satan is, he's stealing away the Word of God, you see, that's sown into a heart. Because he knows, if the word, if that seed gets into that person's heart and stays there long enough for the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin, saved. He fights so hard. And we've got to understand that. I think a lot of times this day and time that we're living in, most born-again Christians, we're satisfied. Well, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I was to die right now, heaven is my home. And that's the extent of it. We've lost the sincerity of others being saved. We've lost that wanting of seeing our loved ones and friends to be saved and them to be able to go to heaven. We've lost that along the way somewhere. I got a little acronym that I wrote down the other day, and it's the word busy, B-U-S-Y. And you put beside that being under Satan's yoke. Did you catch that? The word busy, being under Satan's yoke. And I think that's what happens to most of us born again Christians this day and time. We've gotten too busy. We've gotten too busy to pray like we ought to. We've gotten too busy to witness like we ought to. We've gotten too busy to read the Word of God like we ought to. To know the Word of God like we ought to. To study the Word of God like we ought to. We've just gotten too busy to conduct the things of God anymore. We've gotten too busy that we can't even come to church like we ought to. We've just gotten too busy. Satan knows it. And I'm here to say today that a lot of times the reason why Christians have gotten so busy, and I've been caught up in this too, that's just why I can teach this, because I'm guilty of it as well. Satan knows if he can get you off track. He knows if he can get you tied up and busy with all these things of life and the cares of life, that he's got you exactly where he wants you. Fruitless. So Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Now I think he takes some seed out there and he says, and he throws it on maybe this hard ground that has stone. It's kind of stony, a lot of rocks. I remember we used to have to clear fields. We'd cut the timber, bulldozer or whatever, and it was going to make pasture land and got to sow grass seed down. But before we did that, we had to go out there and pick up those rocks. And if you ever seen any seed fall on rocks, even though it may have a little covering of dirt over that rock, that seed may sprout, but it have no depth of root to it because it's on a stone. Oh, it's come up. The little plant came up. Because verse 17, themselves, so endure but for a time, afterward, when affliction arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Heart, they've heard the news of faith, they've heard of his great salvation in the gospel. They're glad now. But they didn't take time for the Word of God, and they didn't nourish it so that it would get growing depth in their heart to have a good root system. Maybe their heart was calloused, cold, and they're just not willing to get rid of that. Maybe it's because of some bitterness, some anger, something that has happened to them in the past. Someone mistreated them, done them wrong, said something wrong to them, or something like that. Maybe they came to church and they was glad to hear what the Word of God said, but excuse me. But then maybe somebody just didn't speak to them the right way, didn't shake their hand the right way, or whatever it may be, just didn't quite treat them the way they thought they ought to be treated, and they go back out. And because their heart is cold and hard, well, the Word of God that's just been sown has fallen on stony ground, on a stony heart. Oh, they were glad while they were here. But now then, as they got outside, man, all their excuses come flooding at them. Now they're sad. You see. So, they didn't have any depth. The Word of God did not get rooted into their heart because their heart was like a stone. Folks, you know what David said? Lord, create in me a clean heart. He wanted a heart that was soft and supple, not a heart of stone. We need to be very careful, Christians, to not harden our heart against people, against one another, against our family or friends. Yes, we've all been mistreated somewhere along the line. Life is not perfect. And the devil causes somebody to come by and say something wrong to you or look at you wrong or treat you wrong or do something wrong to you. God still wants to give you a soft heart. He doesn't want you to have a hard heart, because a hard heart will not allow the Word of God to permeate. You see. We need a soft heart. So when the Word of God falls on the heart, it takes up root. And it takes up deep roots in our heart, so that God can use us for His glory. You see. Do you want to be used for God's glory? Do you want to be used by God as a stewardship of Him? And do the things that He wants you to do? You know, it's hard to pray when your heart is hard. It really is. It's hard to hear when the heart's hard and calloused. Well, verse 18. These are they. He takes some more seed and he throws it out here among the where the thorns and the briars, the wild trees and all that mess is coming up. You know how that is growing up around here. And the seed grows up in there, right? It may take a little bit of root, but what happens? Look what the Bible says. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. That's what happens to a lot of Christians. Satan didn't steal the word away from them when it was sown in their heart. It took root, and they got saved. So, since he couldn't steal the word away in time for them not to get saved, then he comes along because he doesn't give up. Just because we're saved, Satan does not quit trying to destroy us. He does not quit to try he doesn't want us to do anything for God. In other words, he's always trying to test us, try us, defeat us, you see. But a lot of times it's our own fault. We can't blame everything on Satan. A lot of times we accuse him falsely. A lot of times that old saying, the devil made me do it. Our own flesh. Our own sinful flesh, our own wants, our own unsurrendered self caused me to do it. See, it's vitally important that the more you surrender yourself to the Lord and to His power and to His way, then the stronger you'll be in Christ Jesus. The stronger you'll be to be able to live the life that Christ would have you to live. But see, whenever we don't realize how awful this flesh is, how deceptive this flesh is, and deceiving this flesh is, then all of a sudden, the cares of this world will come by. It'll choke out the Word of God. Choke out our time with God, you see. Cares of the world, and I discussed that a little bit a while ago whenever I told you what will choke out, the three things that will choke it out. And that's the world, riches, lust, these sinful things. And some things it's not sin in itself, but we allow it to get between us and God, then it becomes sin. Anything that you and I allow in our life that would hinder our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and cause us not to do the things that Christ has ordered us to do and commanded us to do becomes sin. Becomes sin. So many of these things are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of things entering in. So many times we allow that to come between us and our Lord, don't we? So easily we allow something else or someone else to come between us and our walk with the Lord. You know, people, we can allow people to hinder us from our walk in the Lord. Did you know that? I made it a point many years ago. I got saved in 1987. And it wasn't long that I learned a lesson. I learned that people that maybe you're kin to, people that you thought were your friends, you know when they're going to show up? They're going to show up on Saturday. They're going to keep you up late at night so that you're tired and you can't come, won't go to church on Sunday morning. Or even if they'll invite themselves, or you'll invite them because you feel like, well, that's the thing to do, and I invite them to stay all night. And you get up the next morning on Sunday morning, you know you're supposed to go to church because that's what God's, that's where He wants you. But what happens? They'll hinder you from coming to church, won't they? I mean, your very own loved ones will do that sometime. They'll hinder you from coming to church. How much time... I mean, how many times does friends or family hinder us from reading the Word of God? I mean, my, you sit down and read your Bible, and if you don't cut your phone off, it'll ring, won't it? Huh? I'm telling you it will. Every time, just about. I mean, you sit down, you know, get in your prayer closet or get down on your knees to pray, you know, phone's going to ring or somebody's going to knock on the door. Or it comes flooding to your mind, oh, I forgot to do this or that. I better just get fast through done with my praying and get on so I can go get whatever I just thought of. It comes flooding back in our mind. Isn't it amazing the things you remember that you forgot when you start praying? That happens to me a lot. And you got to learn to shut those things out. You've got to learn to remember what is the greatest importance here. My Bible time of reading, my prayer time, and my time coming to church. That should have the first and foremost in my life. But like I was going to say a while ago when I got saved in 1987, yes, I had people come by, boy, they'd knock on my door, you know, and it hindered me from going to church on Sunday. And I started seeing that. And after about 6 months, I said, whoa, wait a minute. When they'd call, I said, oh, I'm going to church tomorrow. And they said, oh, yeah, you go to church? We won't come up. No. And maybe some other time, you know, not going to do it. I'm not going to even set myself up to that anymore. You start learning those snares so you quit falling into them, you see, into those same traps. And people then, you know, used to have, they get home from church on Sunday morning, noontime, lo and behold, somebody's kin to you, they'd show up. They'd want to stay all afternoon, hinder you from going back to church on Sunday night. Well, I was quick to catch on to that. And I'd tell them, All right, we've had our couple hours here of the get together and so forth. I said, now I'm going to church. Y'all welcome to come with me. And I'd love for you to come with me. But I'm going to church. I'm not going to sit around and yank the rest of the afternoon away. I'm going to church. God will bless you for that. Because that's called making a stand for the Lord God. All right, let's finish this up real quickly. And these are they, verse 20, which are sown on good ground. He threw it out there, the seed out there in the field, and he said, this is the word of God. Planted on good ground. Falls on a good heart. One that's willing, one that's supple, one that's open. A willing mind, a sound mind, you see. A mind such as Christ has. A mind that is after Christ. A mind that is wanting more of Christ. Wanting more to learn about Him. Have we learned everything about the Bible? I haven't. Do we know everything that God wants us to know? I don't. See, God is looking for a mind and a heart that's willing, that will just live for Him, work for Him, witness for Him, do the things that brings Him greater glory. And He says, this is good ground, and there are such as hear the word and receive it. See, that's important. People hear it in all these other three examples, but they didn't receive it. They didn't receive it. It's important not only to hear the word of God, but to receive it. To let it enter in. Let it take up root. Let it grow. Nourish it, you see, so that you can bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. You must nourish the word of God. It's not that God don't want to feed you. You've got to want to be fed. You see, we're not little babies anymore. We're not just spoon-fed anymore. We have to take responsibility, and we have to have a great desire to hear the Word of God, to receive the Word of God, and to allow it to work in our life and to move us to do the things of God. Brother, you dismiss us in prayer for Sunday school.